I want to share with you just a brief thought this morning. I'm not going to keep you long. I know there's been a lot going on today. But it seemed to me very appropriate that we need to talk about children a little bit from the Bible. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, that's kind of a layup, you know? I mean, that's pretty easy to do that. I mean, you got kids here, so we're talking about kids. So I thought, I think there's something else that may be more important for us. So rather than talking about children in the Bible, I want to talk about what it means to have a childlike faith. Because we've been talking a lot about faith here at Remnant Life. What does it mean to have childlike faith, and how is that different from childish faith? Childlike and childish are two very different things. It's not the same. I want to be childlike many ways in my life. I don't want to be childish. At least I hope I'm not going to be childish. And that affects every area of your life. And there are several times in Scripture that Jesus, when he was teaching the people that were around him, he told them often that they needed to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, he confused one guy so much that the guy said, how am I supposed to be reborn from my mother's body? And of course, Jesus said, as he did many times, you're missing the point. You're missing what I'm trying to say. I kind of feel like if I was talking with Jesus, he'd have to say that to me a lot. You're missing the point, all right? You're not focusing on the right thing. But here's what the Bible says. In the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the 11th chapter, the 25th verse, Jesus says this. He's praying. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. He then goes on later in the same book, in the 18th chapter, he says, he called a little child to him. This is recording what Jesus was doing. And placed the child among them. So Jesus is talking with a bunch of people. He gets this kid, stands him in the middle. And he says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then one more scripture verse in Mark 10. 13 to 16. And this is the story that most people know about children in the Bible. Because the kids were trying to get to Jesus. And you remember what the disciples did. The disciples were up there playing goalie. They were kicking the kids away from Jesus. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Let the children come. It says, so people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. And don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, what does all this mean? I mean, again, Pastor Dave, what are you talking about? I mean, how do I become like a child? I am what I am. I'm an adult. Some of us are much older adults, but you can't go back and become a child again. But you see, very simply, what I think Jesus is saying here is the Christian walk, the Christian faith is not complicated. It isn't complicated. It's a very easy thing to have into your life. Jesus was saying that, listen, your maturity, your wisdom, your experience, your achievements don't bring you into the kingdom of heaven. They don't get you saved. None of those things are going to be what gives you entrance into the kingdom of God. It is only simple, childlike faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. So, real quick, what is childlike faith like? Look like. What is it? What is it? I'm saying faith like a little child. What does that mean? Well, here's the first one. Childlike faith is genuine. It's a genuine faith. Few things will destroy a relationship quicker than insincerity or being disingenuous. Face it, if you've ever had anybody like that in your life, when you found out that they were not being honest, not being sincere with you, what did that do to your relationship? What impact did that have on you? It's a very difficult thing. It's a very negative thing. And not only does it negatively impact personal relationships, it does the same within families, within businesses, and within churches. And that's why here at Remnant Life, it's always my desire for us to just simply be who God created us to be. My prayer is that when people come to this church, they know you don't have to put on any airs. You don't have to be something that you're not. That's why we tell people, hey, whatever you want to dress when you come here, how was this about, honey? About five times I've worn a suit in the 7 years. I just don't wear a suit often. It's not necessary. But I wanted to look nice for you guys. Wasn't that nice of me? So every once in a while, I'll put a suit on. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you wear. I got Jeff up here in shorts. That's never a good thing, and there he is, like right up in the front row. It doesn't matter. We want to be genuine because that's what childlike faith is like. Kids are who they are. They don't know how to be disingenuous. Yes, they know how to pretend, but they never use that as a way to benefit themselves or to guard themselves against somebody. And certainly Jesus dealt with a lot of insincere people in his ministry. There's no doubt about it. If you read through any of the New Testament with Jesus' life, you know that the Pharisees certainly gained the distinction of being the official pebble in the sandal of Jesus. They were always that irritant. And it wasn't the fact that Jesus didn't like the way that they were so dedicated to the Scripture. Of course, that was wonderful. They needed to be teachers. But what they did is they had other people living one way, but they didn't live that way. They had people so focused on obeying the law that they lost the fact that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. See, the focus was in the wrong place, but when you are genuine, when you are living in a way that honors God, there's no place for that in your life. I can't be disingenuous because God knows my heart. He knows me from the very beginning to the very end. He knows those deepest, darkest, secretest places that no one else knows about. God knows them. And this is often my question to people when they want to come and talk with me about something going on in their life. And I go, well, have you talked to this person? Have you thought, no, I could never do that. But in reality, coming to the place of understanding that every aspect of my life is known by God is not something that confines me. It's freeing. That's where freedom comes from, to know that in spite of all of that, God still loves me. He loves you, no matter what it is that you're walking through. I'm not going to have you read it just because of time, but if you're taking notes, jot down Matthew 23, 1 to 11, and this will be on the website. My notes are always on the website, so if you ever want to go back and look at something, you can always do that. But one of the biggest reasons, I think, that Christians are often the greatest detriment to Christianity, and I've said this many times before, one of the biggest problems with Christianity is Christians. We're our own greatest enemies to what it is that God wants to do. Why is that? One word, hypocrisy. That's the reason. People hear you say that you're a Christian, hear you say that you go to church, and then they watch what you do, and those things don't match up. And see, when we talk about these things, I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to bring guilt. There's nothing of that. But there is the opportunity for God to bring revelation to your life to say, you know, I need to start matching up what I say with what I do. I've been reading an article because it caught my attention because the title of it was about people who don't, how to make your church the kind of church where people that don't want to go to church want to come. Whew. That was complicated, wasn't it? Be the church that people that don't want to go to church want to come. And one of the things that they talked about there, one of the subpoints was be authentic even if it means you're different. Be authentic. And here's what the guy wrote, and I just wrote it down. I'll quote it to you. He said, it's better to be authentic than relevant. Don't hide your quirks. Embrace them. If Jesus doesn't cause us to live differently, what's the point? But here's the challenge. We need to live differently without coming across as, look at me, I'm better than you. Because we're not. For the best example of how to do this really well, just look at the life of Jesus. Jesus did that. Jesus was like nothing anybody had ever encountered to that point. Nobody knew how to handle Jesus. They said all kinds of things about him. But Jesus never wavered from what it was that God had sent him to do. Church, we can live that way today. We do not need to waver from those things. We certainly get enough pressure from the world to do that. There are certainly many that are crying out for this Bible to be compromised, for us to water it down, to take things out that people aren't comfortable with or that our culture says that we must embrace. No. What does the Bible say? That's what we stand on. That's what, as a Christian, should be the fundamental, foundational point of my life. This does not move. And see, so many times people want to come up and they want to get on somebody that's going, well, I don't think this is right, or I think that's a sin. I tell people, listen, these are not Dave Dorado's rules. These are the rules of the Word of God. I'm just following what God's Word says, but that is who we are called to be genuine in the things of God's Word. And childlike faith begins with being genuine. Second thing then, I think faith is, childlike faith, it is simple. It's simple. Let's face it. Kids are very simple in the way that they live, are they not? I mean, they just got some basic things that they need, and that's pretty much it. Obviously, we don't live that way, but tell me this. Is there anybody here that would not say, I would love to go back to a much simpler life? Why is it that people, more often as the older they get, they want to move away from where they are and all the hustle and the bustle in the city and get to some place where they can just simplify? Why is it that as people get older, they get rid of the big house and they go to the little tiny thing? Why are you doing that? So we can just simplify. That's how we want to live. And that's the faith of a child, is that it is just so very simple. And Jesus inferred this in his teachings. In Matthew 18, 3 to 4, I read this earlier. He said, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Watch this now. Humility always accompanies simplicity. Humility always accompanies simplicity. You cannot be an egotistical person and keep your life simple. They don't fit together. Because an ego says, you need to look at me. I need to be involved in this. I need to tell you what to do. I got to fix that for you over there. I've got to make sure that I'm getting as much as I can for me. And there's nothing simple about any of that. If you desire to have a simple childlike faith, a humility is going to have to be a part of your life. And you see, the same is true in our walk. We don't need to overcomplicate our relationship with Jesus. We don't need to make it difficult. I have been to more conferences, more Christian conferences, and I've heard more professional, famous speakers speak than I can remember, because they all promise that they're going to give me this deep, unknown truth of God that's going to help me to walk into things that I've never walked in before. And they tell you all these things, and there's thousands of people that come, and you know what I left every one of those thinking? Wow, that cost me a lot of money. To go to that, that was expensive. I don't need someone trying to help me to find some deep truth. Jesus said, these things aren't difficult. As a matter of fact, God hid the truth from the wise and did what? He revealed it to the simple mind of the child. And see, those things normally just cause us to want to look at somebody as being bigger than who they certainly are. Because it is not about us, it's about God. It's keeping things simple through our lives, and it's the simple faith that's going to enter in to the kingdom. It certainly is simple enough for me. Many of you know that I used to teach school, public school system. I was a phys ed teacher, gym teacher, for 8 years. Man, we had a great time. Kids love my class, love Mr. D's gym class. Because I'm down there rolling around with them. I mean, I'm nothing but a big older kid anyway, so I'm down there, I was a lot younger too, rolling around with them and playing the games and doing all that kind of stuff. And then I found out they liked my class so much that the perception of what it was I was doing was changing. Because I suddenly found out that suddenly these classes were coming and some kids were missing. And I'd say, well, where's Billy? Where's Jimmy? Where's Jack? And they'd say, well, he's back in the room there because he didn't finish up his homework. So what the teacher was doing is they were keeping the kids from my class as a punishment for not doing their work. And so I went to the teacher and I went, come here. I said, my class is just the same as math class. Yeah, they're running around and they're hooting and hollering and having fun, but it's not my fault you don't make math fun. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. I was trying to be nice even then. But the perception of what I was doing in there to a lot of people was I was just playing glorified organized games. It was like another recess period. Well, it wasn't. I took what I did very seriously. I give my kids written tests in gym class. You should have seen them freak out on that one the first time they walked in. Why are there papers and pencils on the floor? I made them take written tests. You had to remember. You had to know what it was you were doing. Well, the perception that they had of what I was doing wasn't accurate. Well, so too, I think, many times for Christians. Our perception of what we have to do in order to be a part of God's kingdom is completely distorted because we believe somehow that it's dependent on us and on what we do. How much I read my Bible, how much I pray, how much I put in the offering box, how nice I am, and I help little old ladies across the street, I don't kick them off to the curb, well, that's going to get me into heaven. And in reality, it's the simple childlike faith that just says, Father, I love you, I accept you into my life, I know that Jesus died for me, I know that he rose again, and I want him to come and to be Lord of my life. That's it. That's it. Now, when you do that, now you want to read your Bible. Now you do want to pray. Now you do want to be a part of what God's doing in the various churches. But it should never be something that you think, well, this is what needs to happen if I'm going to get God to love me. He already loves you right where you are, no matter what it is that you're dealing with. So childlike faith is genuine. It's simple. And here's the third one. It's joyful. Joyful. Now, I could talk about this for a couple of hours because the fact is the words joy, joyful, happy, delight, laugh, and smile, they are in the Bible, you ready? Over 430 times. That's a lot. If you look up words in the Bible, you can tell. How important is it? Well, how many times is that word used? 430 times. Now, if that is true, let me ask you something this morning. Why do so many Christians walk around looking like they have no hope and like the heaviest weight of the world is laying on their shoulders? Why is that? And we actually eliminate the most important thing, one of the most important things we could have in order to deal with the issues of our lives. Folks, I'm not here to tell you that becoming a Christian means that everything's fine in your life from that point on. If that were true, I have really messed this up somewhere along the way. I have not always been happy. I've not always been delighted with the things that were happening in my life. But here's what I did discover. That the joy of the Lord, and you'll read this in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you read Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, it's when the children of Israel had come out of the Babylonian capture and they had come to Jerusalem and they were rebuilding the city and they were rebuilding the temple. And when they were rebuilding the temple, the Bible tells us is that while they were digging it out, they actually found a copy of the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch. They found it. And they had not heard it for hundreds of years. And so Ezra the priest and Nehemiah, who was called the governor of that time, of those people, brought everybody together and they said that the priest got up, they built a platform and he stood and he read the entire word for them. And the Bible goes on to tell us that as they were listening, the people were so moved by how far they had gone from God's word that they began to cry. They began to weep, it says. But then the next verse, Nehemiah says to them, he says, no. He said, I want you to go home. I want you to eat food. I want you to have sweet drinks. Because you got to remember, in those days, when you were under tremendous emotional pressure or anguish, you removed food. You fasted during that time. He said, don't do that. Go home. Eat, drink, have a good time. He said, if there's people around you that don't have any, give them some. Make sure that they have some. And then here's what he says. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Church, when we will not embrace joy into our lives, we are removing one of the primary ways that we have the strength to be able to deal with whatever it is that's going on in our lives. Now, watch. I'm not talking about being happy. Happy and joy are two different things. The word happy comes from the word happenings. And so my happiness is based on the happenings of my life. If things are great going on, I'm happy. If things are not good, then I'm not happy. Joy is different. Joy does not change. And so where do we get that joy in our lives? Well, very simple. It's my faith in God, that He is always true to who He is. It's my faith and my understanding that this never changes. The Bible calls him, God is a rock from which we can stand. He doesn't change. And then it's about choosing to focus on the blessings of my life. Church, I believe that many Christians need to have their thinking rewired. We've got to change the way that we look at things. Because it's so much easier, it seems, at least in our culture today, for people to always focus on everything that's not the way that they want it to be. Heard one preacher say, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm preaching good right now. We focus on the negative things of our lives rather than just stepping back and saying, God, this may not be just how I want it yet, but man, you've given me this, I have this, here's this, and here's that. You'll run out of time being able to list all of the ways that God has blessed you if you will just take a moment, remove your eyes from the things that aren't where you want them to be, and see what it is that God's done. That's joy. That brings strength to your life. So, if childlike faith is genuine, simple, and joyful, what is childish faith? I want to make sure you know what this is. Childish faith, very simply, is just the focus is all on you. It's on you. You're the focus of everything of your life. And so your prayers are normally much more about the things going on in your life than they are about other people. Your energies, your time, your money, all of that, you're not willing to do that so quickly because, well, listen, if it's not convenient or if I'm not going to get a return on it, why would I bother? I'll give you a perfect example of that. And I'm always cautious with this, and people that come to Remnant Life often know that I don't spend a great deal of time talking about this. But if you do not tithe to the church that you go to, because I know there are a lot of churches here represented, if you don't tithe to the church you attend because you're afraid that if you do that, you're not going to have enough left over, or you're concerned about what happens to it, then your faith is not in God. It's on yourself and your own ability to take care of you. If you don't give back to God what he says is his, then you're trusting more on your own abilities than you are on him. And see, that just goes completely against what the prophet Malachi wrote. And if you've ever wondered about giving to the church, you go back to that because God addresses this directly. He says, test me. How many times God said, test me, but that's one of them. He said, test me. You watch what it is that I'll do. And see, it's that kind of a faith that when it's only focused on me, childish faith is not about anyone else. It's about where's my life, what's going on, how can I make it better? Childlike faith just says, God, I trust you. I believe your word. I'll follow you. Even though the circumstances may be difficult right now, that's not going to rob the joy out of my life because I know who you are. Childlike faith. In the natural, childlike faith, and you'll get to see this if you haven't already, you take your kid to the pool, first time at the pool, deep end, they're scared. Childlike faith, though, the kid jumps off right into your arms because he knows daddy's going to catch him. He knows daddy's not going to let anything happen to him. That's the natural childlike faith. We can't do that. We pay people thousands of dollars to go to these business retreats and they do the trust thing, you know, and you fall back into the person's arms. You ever seen that done? I've seen more people not do it than I have people do it. We don't have that kind of faith. But in the spiritual, childlike faith in the spirit is embracing the beauty of being different from the world. I want to be different from the world because of the presence of Jesus Christ in my life, knowing that my Heavenly Father will be there to help me and to guide me and to care for me. Childlike faith is nothing like childish faith. Childlike is being excited by the simple things. Childlike is finding joy in the smallest of things in my life. And childlike is trusting wholly and fully in God the Father. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've been feeling weighed down by the things of your life, whatever the circumstances might be, that there would be a readjusting, a shifting of your thinking and of your mind so that you begin to understand that when I walk in the joy of the Lord in my life, that his strength is available to me, that I can work my way, I can continue to walk, I will continue to see these things come to a fruition, come to an end, not because of me, but because of his great love for me. We sang about it this morning. Amazing grace. God's amazing. We talked last week about how Jesus was amazed. Only twice in the Bible does it ever say Jesus was amazed. The one time was at the town of Nazareth, where he was from, because the people wouldn't let him in. Jesus couldn't even go into his own hometown. And the Bible says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. That's not the kind of amazing I want to do for Jesus. But then it tells us the story of the centurion who sent the people to Jesus to ask that he come and to heal his slave. And then he sent out more people and said, listen, Jesus, don't even come. I don't even want you under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you there, because I know all you got to do is just say the word and my slave will be healed. And Jesus said he was amazed at the faith of the centurion. I want to have a childlike faith that is amazing to God. And I want that for each of you here as well. You go, Pastor Dave, you don't know what it is I'm dealing with. I don't need to. He does. He knows what it is. And he'll be there, faithful to his promises and to his word. Bow your heads with me if you would. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I realize for many here today that this may not be easy. Because you may be thinking, well, yeah, it's great. You can say all that stuff. But what happens when it's really there? When I'm walking in the midst of whatever that situation is. Well, God, it's in those moments that the power of the Holy Spirit is with us, given to us by you to walk with us through our lives, to be able to help us, God, to stand firm on the truth of your word. And I pray that this morning over each and every person here, that regardless of what it is that's happening, regardless, Father, of where they've come, regardless of what it is that they think might be coming still, to know that when they set their eyes on you, you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is in that, Father, that we know that your love is sufficient, that your love is beyond what we need, if we'll just simply, God, hold and embrace what it is that you've told us. And so, God, I pray that for each and every person here. I pray blessing over each and every life, over every family that's represented. And as we leave here today, I pray, Father, that every opportunity that's presented to us, that people will know, they will see you in us by the way that we act, by the words that we say, by our very countenance, to know that we are different because of you. Thank you, Father. Go with them, I pray. Again, keep them safe. And when we come back again together next week, Father, may we again just be looking for every opportunity to sing your praises, because you are a great, a good, and a mighty God. I pray all of these things in your matchless Son's name. Amen.